I'm going to have my daughter call me and record that. And then I can listen to it every day. Hallelujah. Wow, do we have to give it up for the praise team this morning? Come on. Woo, the anointing was just falling off of them. It was so beautiful. You know, I think sometimes, and I know I do, so I put myself in this preference. I think sometimes that we just get caught up, we come, it's the same routine, you know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you, these people sacrifice, like a lot of you that serve in this house, but to have a praise team that gets together a couple times a week and they want to represent the Lord, and you know, that's the one area that I feel that's attacked the most. And you know, Satan, I don't have to go into him, but you know, he's the music person. And so he wants us to just not really appreciate the flow of the anointing get into it. Say, I'm going to get into it. Well, I'm so happy to be here today, and I came in here because I got my glasses, and I wanted to make sure I could see and that the pulpit was high enough. So anyway, good morning. It's really great to be in the house again. It's my greatest honor to always come and be able to represent the Word of God, and it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's really great to be here, but I do feel blessed this morning. I believe that most of you came this morning because you had a need, like myself, to unlock something. And my message this morning, I'll get into it, it's called Press In. I didn't know I was going to speak until like 10:48 yesterday in 15 seconds. So I put something together that I really believe that was from the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I love about God and our relationship with Him is I want to always feel like He's my daddy and I can press in. I want to just press in, you know. So I want to talk about some of those things today. So as we unlock some of the things that I'm going to speak about, what I'm hoping to happen, what I prayed over this message, is that you're going to hear something that resonates inside of you, that you're going to grab a hold of, because it doesn't have to be the whole word that I bring. It's that one thing that unlocks where you are today, and you're the only one that knows what that needs to be. Amen? So it's really great. So look at your neighbor and say, I believe that.
I believe that.
Look at your other neighbor and say, I believe that. Everybody say amen. Amen. So again, my title is Press In. And like I said, I know in my spirit that I really believe that was not an accident. Number one, that you're here. And number two, that my daughter asked me to bring a word today. Because God needs to have us to be activated to hear the word of God. And you know, it's when we come together and we have something in our being that needs to be unlocked or be renewed or be repurposed, what happens is when we get together, there's something great that happens. You know, collective people together, it's like the Bible says, you know, the embers burn high when we come together where two or more are together, and I know that. So I have a scripture today that I really love it, and it says this. If you have your Bibles, I don't have it up here, sorry. Psalms 128, 1 through 2, and it says, blessed are those who fear the Lord. Blessed are those that fear the Lord. Now, don't let your mind go and circle the word fear. Now, there are times with fear and trembling we need to do that, amen? But this kind of fear is not the kind of fear in which we tremble, but it's blessed those that fear the Lord and not where we tremble. Okay, it's number one. I lost my place, sorry. It's where we revere Him. This revere, I looked up the word, and this is what it means. It means to worship Him. It means to respect Him. It means to honor Him. It's where we want to please Him. You know, I love it when God says, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Because in our journey with the Lord, it's not you have to. You need to. It's not that commanding, booming sound that God gives, but it gives that loving that we want to please our Father. I know, you know, I love to please my husband. That's in the natural. But when you want to please somebody, you know, that's a good thing, not because I feel like I have to because I'm married, but I want to please Him, or it's not my job, it's because I love Him. And when we want to respect and honor and please God and His word, what happens is we do it so automatically. It's so giving when we're not pressured into something. So watch here what we do with the promise. Let's continue to read. Here's the promise of that scripture. Then you, say me, will eat the fruit of your labor, and blessing and prosperity will be yours. It's going to be yours. So see, I believe with this is how I teach. God is an if-then God. Meaning, if you do this and you're obedient to it, this is what's going to happen over here. But there's also consequences to our actions. Can you say amen? I've walked in the consequences of things not so pleasant with the Lord. And then it's hard to get out of that. But today, he wants us to revere him, worship him, respect him, and honor him. And then you're going to reap the rewards of prosperity. I love it. And then when we do that, once we begin to do this, here's what happens. We're going to climb a little bit higher. And then we're going to climb a little bit higher. And then once we get in a position of climbing just a little bit higher, you know what takes place? It takes place as we're going to God is going to reposition us. He's going to begin to change us. The higher that we climb that mountain to get closer to God, that's what I mean, not by works, but by getting closer to God, honoring, loving, trusting, believing him, that's when we get repositioned in the things of God. Have you ever been in a place where you need to be repositioned? I think we all have, amen? I try to do this in my walk. You know, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And there's times in our life that we don't do that. You know, we want to figure it all out. I used to say, and no offense, men, but men, you know, they're the hunters. They're the ones that forge the way in our families. And because of that, they want the I's dotted and the T's crossed. And that's how I think sometimes we as women get too. We want to figure the whole process out. But I know one thing with the Lord. Faith isn't figuring it out. Faith is the substance of what? Of what? Faith is the substance of things. Was you saying hope for? Oh, my gosh. Will you pray for me? I am so sorry. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and what? The evidence of things not seen. And that, you know, that's been my journey for 2 years, things not seen. But it's the greatest growing process. You know, it's where, you know, when the enemy will make you feel like, you know, God's not hearing you, your prayers are up here at the ceiling, guess what? That's when we are climbing that mountain and we are repurposing ourselves and God is repositioning us, getting us closer, you know, and that's just the way that God is, and he's an unchanging God, amen? Now, the next scripture I love this scripture. I over-processed it at the ladies' Bible study this past Monday, but it's the foundation of my life. It's the foundation of your life, whether you know it or not. This is a scripture I know you're like, what is it? Well, you're just going to have to wait. Just wait just a second. Be patient. The Lord talks about patience. But it's a scripture that if we practice this every day of our life, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be winners. Say, I'm a winner. We're winners. You're so cute. You're winners because God made the provision already on the cross. Yeah, amen. But it's right here. It's overused, but it's amazing. Matthew 6:33. And here's what God says. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Now watch. You're not a stranger to this, but hear it by the Spirit. All the rest will be added unto you. First, we seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Because what happens is we begin to put the cart before the horse, and that makes a tough ride. You ain't going to go anywhere, amen? So this is a spiritual obligation that we need to do. Here's another one. Now watch this in Romans 4:17. This is good. Romans says this, because we have an obligation if God is an if-then God, and if God has given us all authority. Do you believe that God's given us all authority? Once Jesus died, he passed the baton to us. I've given you all authority. And so this is what he says in Romans 4:17. Quicken the dead and call those things which are not as though they were. Call means this. It means to proclaim. It means to declare. It means to stand in faith. So when you think of that word, quicken, it automatically made me think of, remember when Jesus went and Lazarus was dead? He called those things which be not as though they were. He quickened the dead. And he said, Lazarus, come out. That's what happened. So here, that the same exact anointing, that's hard for us to fathom, amen? It's hard for me to imagine that I have that kind of power. But the Bible says, greater is he that's in me and you than he that's in the world. We have that power. All we have to do is light the fuse. But some of us want to dot the I's and cross the T's and wallow in where we are. I want to say, is it at or are? Where we are. And so here's the whole thing. Ignite the dynamite that's on the inside of you and watch the explosion of all the great things, all the great promises that are going to come to pass. Because what I think, you ever hear that saying, there's light at the end of the tunnel? That's true spiritually. That's true spiritually, because as we're walking out things that we're believing God for today, and we're seeing that light, but the enemy stops us. And we're going to talk a little bit about that too. I won't get ahead of myself. But here Jesus spoke to the dead things. And here's how you do it. When you learn that God's principle opened heavens, then you'll start doing it. You see, the principles of God always work. Can you say more? Amen. And then the doors do what? They fly open. They always fly open. It reminds me of Paul when he was in prison, remember? And what happened was the doors flung open. And even though they prayed and they believed, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say, I wonder who was in there that says, can you believe that really happened? And that's what happens when we seek the kingdom of God first in his righteousness, and also that we press in, because that's very important to us. So actually, I believe in this house, this church, I'm not being biased, it's primed. It's been primed before, now it's primed in legacy for signs, for wonders, for miracles, because God is in a thing. You know, when God, you hear people say, you know, you have to have a sure foundation. One thing I know about this house and even the church back in Wisconsin, it was on a more sure foundation. And how do we know? Because it's still standing. And your promises today, if you step on a more sure promise to the Word of God, you are on a more sure foundation. No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, no matter what your circumstances dictate to you. Do you know Satan is the father of all lies? And when we start to believe in him, in his doubt, his insecurity, we begin to be pulled away by the enemy's tactics, then you know what? You're giving place to such a spiritual entity besides God. But when you wait, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, and you're going to go through that open door, because there's always a process. There's an end to the means. And the process sometimes can get ugly. The process of waiting makes you feel like God's not hearing you. The process of waiting makes you feel that door's, I've waited for 2 minutes. I've waited for 6 months. I've waited for a year. One time, I waited for a year for the promise to come through. A year. Another time, it was more like 2 years. I mean, and I just thought, why? I never doubted. You know, you could be at a place in your journey where you're trusting God and not doubt, but just question the timeline. Like, I know you're able. You're the God that can do all things. You're the God of the impossibility. You're the God who actually gave me life. Where's the answer? Why isn't it being manifested? Because I know the truth. I have a revelation to the truth that the promises are yes and amen to me. Why aren't they coming to pass now? And I guess I don't say that that's a right way or a wrong way, but that's what I felt. But anyway, let's go on. So anyway, I believe that this is a season. I've been saying this for a while. I believe in 2024, this is a season of open doors. I believe the Bible says where there's wickedness, light more shines. I can't think of the scripture. You probably know it. But it's the truth. There's so much wickedness in the earth, and we're the candle to that. We're the representing the Holy Spirit. So make sure you always represent. If you get a chance to share your faith, be sure and do it, because people are hurting today, you know. But when God created us, I want you to know, He created us with His own eternal plans. And He says it is good. It is good. God's always about getting something good to it. So when we take that and believe it, that whole atmosphere of our thinking changes. It goes from reasoning to trusting. You know, there is a difference when you try to reason out a situation like I have many times in my life. It's just not going to be fulfilled. But when you cross over the boundaries of reasoning into trusting, you know, those that walk by faith, you know, fear not. I've said so many times, you know, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and life. He gives us that power, resurrection power, you know, and He wants to renew my mind all the time. And that's where we have to get to a place, is stop listening to yourself being negative. Sometimes you just got to grab your brain and say, hush, in the name of Jesus. Be quiet. I believe, family, that we are our worst enemies. You know, the devil can say a lot of things, and maybe you might even recognize it, but then what do? We sabotage ourselves. Well, that's not going to work. I believed that, and it didn't happen. How come I didn't get healed, and sister or brother up here got healed? And it's not because somebody's doing something right or wrong. It's just that there's a season, and that manifestation will come. Say it's going to come. Because, see, once He had that eternal plan for us before the foundation of the world, He also combined it with victory. Amen. I love that part, because God's all about the victory. Using your faith is an envisioned. Now watch this. Faith is, I love this so much, Hebrews 11:1, overused. He declares, faith is the substance. In other words, something's very tangible about faith. We may not be able to feel it. We may not be able to see it in the natural, but faith is the substance. And it goes on to say in the Greek, it's the title deed of things not seen. It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's actually a title deed. That's pretty profounding when you think about it. That's what faith is. It's a title deed for us. So faith, think about this, stirred by the word of God, and you'll begin to see the revelation of what a title deed is for you. And that's when you cross over that boundary, because there's a boundary there. There's a limitation. There's something that keeps you from crossing over to the other side and receiving from the promised land. We don't want to get to the place where we just look over and see it. We don't want to see the grapes all big and all the things that's happening. What we want to do is be able to cross over into that land and receive all that God has for us. So faith stirred by the word of God to receive a revelation. Now watch this. I got one more scripture. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe, ... I put, that you received it and it will be yours. So how do you do that? You have to believe. But what I put down here, if you notice this, check this out. Therefore, I tell you, one, whatever you, there's two, believe, and that you receive, it shall be yours. God told us three times. Point to yourself and say, me. God told you three times, you. You must receive it. You have to be that one that walks in the faith. I believe in prayer partners. But there's no greater partner than Jesus Christ. You know, I've selective people that I have pray with me for different things. Usually it's my daughter. She's the few. She's so powerful. And of course my husband. But the thing is, there's no greater prayer partner than God. Because what I feel like I can share with you, please pray for me with this. But if they don't really have the answers for you, and they really can't change the situation for you, and maybe some of them say, oh yes, I'll pray, and they walk away and forget. Or they don't have the passion that you have for you. That's why I see, I'm on Facebook, and I don't openly do this a lot, but people have needs. I don't know them, but I'll write them a scripture. And I'll say, you know, I don't know you, but this is what the word says. I'm standing with you for this. And then I'll say a prayer. And then I move on. I mean, I can't have all of, how many on Facebook? Millions. But what I can do is really believe with them. Right. We need to believe when we're asked to pray for someone else like it's our own need. Amen. And when we do this, and sometimes it's easier just to grab, if you can, grab that person and pray with them. I've done that in the malls. I'll say, be talking to somebody, let me pray with you. Or on my walk, hey, I know Jesus that can take care of it, and I pray for him and lay hands on him right there. In other words, come into that power of agreement. You know, for therefore I tell you, whatever you ask. Now, you know, when you think about the word whatever, that does mean equals God's will. You see what I mean? So if it's a boom explosion when it's God's will with your faith and speaking the word of God. Call those things. Begin to write down, get a list of your need, and speak over it. Here's a little situation that happened. We just gotten saved, and my brother-in-law was going on vacation, so we had a few hundred dollars saved that we was taking cash somewhere. And he called at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. He was a non-believer. Jerry, can you come and get me out? I need $100. So he said, well, yeah, I got 100. He said, I'll pay you back next week. I said, okay. So he goes and gets him out of jail for $100, bond or whatever it was. And so next week came. Next week came. Next week came. No money, honey. So you know what I did? Now, this is just an example for all of us. I took a list. I mean, I took a sheet of paper. David, oops, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, David, if you're listening. Owes $100, and the enemy's not going to steal it from me. Now, not him, but that devil was not going to get my $100. And I go in that refrigerator, and I lay my hands on it, and I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you get your hands off that $100. You make him, he's going to hear the name Jerry, and he's going to say, I got to get this money back to my brother. He's going to hear something. I never omitted that one day. Over a year, one day, he calls his brother, can you come down? Yeah, we'll come down. He owned a gas station. We went down. He says, you know, brother, I just feel like I need to give you this $100. And here's my husband. He goes, you know, don't worry about it. I grabbed that $100, and I said, I take it back in the name of Jesus. I am not going to forfeit anything to the devil. I'm taking that money back. Taking it back, taking it back, taking it back. You know, that $100 was a lot of money, number one. And number two, I already paid my tithe on it. And number three, God's going to give. He's supposed to give back to me, not take away. Amen. So in your walk and in your journey with the Lord, listen to me. You got to believe it. You got to confess it. You got to speak over it. Hey, you're in that boat going up anyway. You're in it anyway, so why not do it the right way? Why keep doing it the wrong way? You know, come on, amen? So let's see here. Faith is stirred by the relationship with Jesus. Number one, faith is stirred by hanging with like-minded believers. Now, I love the lost. I deal with a lot of people when we lived in Florida for 2.4 years. and they're the best people. And, you know, sometimes the best people are harder to win because they're just too nice. You know, they do things that's right, but they're not born again because we're all sinners. Every one of us are sinners. Then we fall short of the glory of God. We need to be born again. But, you know, I'll tell you what. When I loved them, but it wasn't like being with my like-minded family like you guys. We have the same DNA. We march to the same drummer. We're the ones that trust and believe together. We can stand in that power of agreement. But I never, ever on my walk the whole 2 years, and I knew so many neighbors and friends. I mean, we loved each other. We talked on the walk. We knew all the dogs' names and not the people's for the first year. And I would always show a picture of Snickers. You want to see my little girl Snickers? Well, she's gone to be with the Lord, but I never told him that. But faith is like hanging out with Christians, and also not just like-minded, those that provoke you. There's a story, I don't even know where it's at right now, but it just came to me, of a woman named Dorcas. And the Bible said that she went around about doing good to all the village. And what she did is she provoked them to goodness. See, when you're with like-minded people and born-again Christians, they provoke you to want to do more. They provoke you. They don't pull you back and say, hey, you want to come hang out at such and such place, when you know your Jesus ain't supposed to be there. Jesus say, no. And you're going, yes. And what he don't supersede our
will. Come on, say it loud.
It's our will. He's not going to supersede this. Number two. Faith is stirred by praising him. But the key is when everything goes wrong. I mean, we serve a God. You think God don't see? God knows. God sees. He has the infirmities of our sorrowness, you know. He took that on the cross. He totally gets it. So what we have to do is we have to be stirred by praising him, even when we don't feel like it. I think that's the greatest place to be. I've had to praise him so many times. Honestly, my hands were hanging low, and I didn't really want to praise him. But then all of a sudden, I get this Holy Ghost unction. Like, you know what, Lord? I'm going to praise you because you're worthy. I'm going to praise you because you're God. I'm going to praise you because I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to praise you because I know all things work together for good. I'm going to praise you because you love me and you sent Jesus Christ to the cross. So we have so many things that we need to praise him for. Number three, when we praise him, this is what takes place. The very lattices. Do you know Jacob's ladder? The Bible talks about there was lattices. You know what a lattice is, guys? It's those things that go things this way and this way, and it's in the gardens or it's on the side of the house, lattices. Well, the lattices stay open. We got to keep, and then what happened? The angels was going up and down the ladder, up and down the ladder, up and, you say, the angels are listening. I don't believe that. Going up that ladder. Jesus, did you hear that? They don't believe that. He said, tell him how much I love him. Goes back down the ladder. You see what I mean? We got to keep the lattices open. Even when the enemy says, God ain't listening, that lattice is open for you if you keep it open. Just let your little angel go on up that ladder and come on down. Ain't going to hurt him. Now, here's the truth, family. Here's the biggest tactic of the enemy is Satan wants to keep us doing this, just marching, but going nowhere, just marching. I don't even think we're going to go into a circle today. We're just going to keep marching. He wants us to keep us marching because where we march and don't move forward. See, the Spirit of God is always on the move. Right now, the Spirit of God is moving. He's moving. He's moving everywhere. He's moving right here. The angels of God are in this room, and the Spirit of God is resting upon us, and he's moving. But when the enemy keeps us marching in the same place, that's what's going to happen. He knows what it is. He doesn't want us to move forward because he knows that's where the power lies. When we step out of the realm of where we are, because I'm going to tell you something. If God was to open up this room this morning, you're going to see warring angels. You're going to see warring devils. That's the way it is because they're on both sides. There's always a flip side, and he's always where the angels are because he's trying to defeat us, you know? Can you say amen? Amen. So I'm happy to say that the legacy of this house, like I said earlier, is on a more sure foundation. That is so great. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this. This is where the scripture says, fight the good fight of what? Faith. Let me just finish it. What kind of faith? The good faith. Then he goes on to say this. lay hold on eternal life. So what is the, how do we fight the good fight? It's not like a physical fight, which I know I'm talking to the choir. I know you guys understand that. But it's an eternal fight. It's a fight. It's a place in the atmosphere where we have to get in our faith to arouse the anointing of God to push out the darkness in our world. It's a place, the good fight isn't always just screaming and binding, but the truth is, that's a practice too. There's many ways to set the devil on fire and send him out of our life. And that is, don't box up God. There's many ways that we can do things. It's praising, it's binding, it's loosening, it's calling those things which be not. And as soon as you think you've got it figured out, God's going to walk away and make you do it a different way. So I want you to remember that today. You know, if you're in a battle today, just know that God is for you and not against you. It's the greatest thing. It makes me think of sometimes we're in the battle and the fight, and it seems to be so overwhelming, and only you know what that situation is. You just think, like, how can I scave through this fire? But you know, it makes me think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible said they tied them up. See, it was so weird to me because you're going in the furnace. And they just cranked it up even higher. But we're going to tie your feet and hands to make sure you don't jump out. Now, that's just crazy, but that's how man thinks. They think in the natural. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't in there alone. Hallelujah! There was another person, and they came out unscorched because Jesus was with them in that fire. Jesus was with them. He's with you today. You know, he goes before you, as a matter of fact. When you're not in this battle alone, you have the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty one of Israel, Jehovah God, representing you. And you got some big angels on each side of you, taking care of you. I'm telling you, that is awesome. I'll just do a little rabbit hole here real quick. Many years ago, right before we went into ministry in 1989, I went over to see a cousin of mine. I hadn't seen her, but just a few times. And we were kind of, she moved there and was kind of neighbors a little bit. And her little girl wasn't in church. She was about 4 years old, maybe 3 and a half. Her name, Lorena Rose, isn't that sweet? And my cousin said, do you know the lady that's coming over? That's my cousin. And she said, I know who she is. She's the lady when she comes that she has two big angels sitting on both sides of her. She could see into the spirit. God has something special for her. I don't know if she's serving the Lord today. But we have angels that protect us. You know, you hear so many stories like that. Like, yeah, he shot me 5 times and was like 2 feet from me. And pew, pew, pew. The angel. Mighty God. Mighty warring angels. Amen. This is a quote from John Piper. I don't know if anybody of you know him. I follow him sometimes. And he says, until you know that life is war, you cannot know what prayer is for. He did it in a little rhyme. Just a little, you know, we are in a spiritual battle, but we win. We win on every hand. It's so great. So we got to adhere to the truth of God's word. Like I said, it's power. It's authority. It's getting us through by calling those things which be not and pressing in. Say amen. The storms are, here I wrote this down. The storms are never about you. Watch this. They are about the word that is hidden inside of you. It's every time there's an enemy. I just gotten saved, and I was 24. I might have been saved 2 or 3 months. And somebody invited me to a place called Goldie Froberg. Goldie Froberg is an institution where there's mentally ill children, youth. And they wanted to know if we wanted to go down and be a part of, you know, go minister to them, so on and so forth. So we took a bus. And I said, yeah, you know, yeah, I'll go there. So this is the truth. I mean, I can laugh, but it's not funny. I walked in, and this girl, this teenager girl, she was like 6 foot-ish. And she was a big girl. And she came over. She got right in my face, and she put, like, right almost on my nose. She said, I know who you are. Your name is Gloria, and I don't like you. Guess what? I was new. I never went back there. But I looked at her, and I didn't know what to say, and I said, and I don't like you either. I knew it was a spirit. So what I'm saying is our spirits collide. They collide, they mesh together. We may not know each other, but we're known spirits, no spirits. And that's why I said, you know, like when I went back here, it's the word that is inside of you that they hate. That girl didn't know me. I'd never met her, never been there before. How was she going to know my name was Gloria? And she spoke it right in my face. She did not want the presence of God, that spirit, in that house, because you wanted to keep them lame and all the things that they go through. When God has victory, I believe even for the worst mental patients in the world, God sets them free. He can. So here's something God shows you. Know your authority. You can get the victory over the enemy. He says this in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents. That's just circumstances in our life. And over all. Say all.
All.
Oh, say it like you mean it.
All.
All the power. I love that. Over all the power of the enemy. That is something. I'm telling you, money can't buy that kind of stuff. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. So the enemy's going to start like this. The enemy will make us doubt the promises. I touched on that a little bit. Me personally, I want the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to just raise me up in who I'm supposed to be and make me finish my course with the power of God and the authority that God's graced me with, and to be able to understand that the Word is so prevalent. If you're not in your Word every day, really try to be. I mean, it's so easy to read your Bible 15 minutes a day, whether it be like get the kids to bed and read it 15 little minutes and really get in there and read the Word of God. And if you get a moment, study, because the Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workmanship of Christ. So when we get to know the Lord like that, it's so great. So I know I'm going to skip all this here, but I'm going to go on to say three things. This is where the Holy Spirit will build you up. Pray in your most holy faith. Pray, if you pray in the Spirit, because when you don't know how to pray, if you're not Spirit-filled or speak in tongues, it doesn't make us better. What the Holy Spirit does through us is He prays the perfect will of God when we pray in the Spirit. God can still hear English, amen? It's all good, but, you know, we need to let the Spirit of God build us up in our most holy faith. When we pray in tongues, we begin to build ourselves up, and I've done that before. I said, God, I swear, sometimes I think, what did you just say to God? I mean, it's so miscombobbled junk, you know what I'm saying? It just means nothing. I thought, that was beyond religious. I don't even know what I just said. And I'll just pray in the Holy Ghost. I'll just pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So I want that to be. So, okay, when this happens, something changes, like I said, in a powerful way. When the Holy Spirit steps in, guess what happened? The fear is gone. Now, in closing, okay, say in closing. Don't you love those pastors that say in closing and then 5 pages later? No, I'm really in closing, you know. It's time to redig a well. And I printed out some bullet points for just a moment. Allow Jesus to orchestrate your life and let Him lead you out of your loss. Gosh, He's the provision. He's the provider. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the one that loves you more than you can comprehend. He gave up His whole Son that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what I love about the Lord. One, may you rise and believe once again. Let your day, new beginnings. Come on, say new beginnings. I love that about God, because I basically need new beginnings in my life every day. May this season of hardship that you're in come to an end. I believe it's going to. I believe, like I said, with my whole heart for 24, that there's open doors this season. And we're going to be able to walk through them. And you know what He'll do? He'll close the door to our past. You know, He's going to close every door behind us. I mean, it's just going to disappear. It's going to be like, oh, there's not even a door there. Because what you give place to comes alive. And, you know, we don't want to ever rehearse and nurse or whatever the past, because it comes alive spiritually. So you want to be very careful what we say and what we do. May you endure to the end and stay the course. Because if this season that I believe, and I believe many believe this too, of 24 for open doors, stay the course. It's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And not just for everybody else, but for me too. And may you fix your eyes on Jesus like you've never done before. You know, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And be like the woman, I think somehow I skipped a page, but was the woman with the issue of blood. You know, she forsook the law. You know, the law said she couldn't go near him because she had issues of blood. The law said, and the government said so many things, but you know what she said? I don't care. Get out of my way. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made. Watch this. She proclaimed, I will be made whole. If I can just get there. If I can. And guess what? God, the way maker. Come on, girl. Come on. I'm pushing him aside. Get on in here. See that hem? I'm going to feel it when you touch it. The same way that our sister in the Word of God, he cleared the way. He's about to clear your way. The same way she touched, we touch the Word of God because it's the sword. It cuts asunder. It's power. It's life. It's victory. When we proclaim the Word, it's exactly what she did when she touched the hem of the Lord's garment. So I want that for you. He has so much supernatural ability to happen for you, your homes, your children, your families, those who you're connected to. I'm telling you, he has that supernatural ability to get to the other side. And last, Judges 5 says this, rise up in your anointing and come into your destiny. You don't have to be bankrupt in any area of your life. We got to rise to that occasion. We got to do the word of God. Can you all stand to your feet? I want to ask you a very important question today. And truth may be, you might know the Lord as your personal Savior, but I would be amiss if I just didn't offer the invitation. In 1974, I gave my life to Christ. I totally did. I didn't just give him my life to be born again. I gave him my life. I gave him my whole heart. I gave him everything because I wanted him to be the center of my focus. So if you don't know Jesus Christ today, I want to share with you a simple prayer, but you got to believe it with your heart. You got to confess it with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be saved. I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads because, you know, I want to do this openly. I don't want you to come up here, but you can just give me a little wave. If I need Jesus, I want to accept him. I want to know that Jesus that's all powerful. All anointed. Thank you for that hand. All anointed. I see that hand back there. I see another hand back there. I want that Jesus in my life. I want the same power that resides. Thank you for that hand that resurrects in Pastor Gloria this morning and so many believers. I want to know that Jesus. So let's all say this together. Now listen, if you're a first-time confessor before Jesus, and maybe you was a little intimidated to raise your hand, Jesus sees your hands. I see another hand back there. Listen, Jesus sees. I see another one. Thank you. So another one. Oh, I see you way back there. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of people in here want Jesus this morning. Say with me this morning, but you got a minute. Can you just say it with your heart? Heavenly Father, today I want you to come into my heart. I want to receive you as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that you are the way, that you are the truth, and you are the life. And no man can come to the Father except through you. Father, there is no other way to heaven than through the cross of Jesus Christ. It was his shed blood that died for my sin and all the beautiful promises. And today I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And today I receive that in my life. I accept you as my personal Savior. And I want to not only give it with word, I want to give my heart in deed, because you are the way maker. You are the truth, and I receive you today. I open the windows of heaven to receive all you have from me. that beautiful life that Pastor Gloria talked about. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' amazing name. Now, if you said that prayer today, you don't have to come up now, but see one of our, raise your hands, pastors and elders. All these people here, come to them. Don't be afraid and say, guess what? I received Christ as my Savior. Did you get something out of the Word? Woo! So let's give Jesus a big hand clap. He's the reason for the season. God bless all of you. Have a great day.